Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to the Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 733. I'm your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox penthouse. My trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder, the three-legged kitty cat, is, as I hit the mic stand, is I think downstairs. And he's the only cat in the house. I just want to point that out. The only cat in the house, as last week, I talked about a few things, you know, about him having a visit. And I just want to state, he is the only cat in the house. I'm just trying to say that loud enough so he hears it. As I, you know, I wanted to update that, make sure that was the big thing I updated. But I did realize, after recording the show last week, I didn't mention, I did play the fan remake of Metal Gear Solid 1. And there's all the boss, you can do the boss fights. And I think there's some VR missions. I did a couple of the boss fights. It is really impressive that one person made this. Very impressive. Now, this isn't a complete game by even just like the boss fights. It's a little, I mean, you know, playing it on keyboard too, I think it kind of fucked me up a little bit. I feel like if I had a controller, it would have gone better. But it's pretty sweet that, you know, this, that just one fan went through and did this. But if you're expecting a complete game and that it works, you know, as good as a studio made attempt, if Konami put it out, then that's not what you're getting. But it's a pretty cool thing to check out, the Metal Gear Solid fan remake. I'm thinking, you know, Konami will eventually do a Metal Gear Solid Delta up on Metal Gear Solid 1. It's the best of the franchise, if you ask me, is Metal Gear Solid 1. I mean, I love pretty much all the Metal Gear games. As I've gone through Delta a few times now. But I would say the OG, Metal Gear Solid, not the Metal Gear on NES. That was before, you know, that's a fun game. That one's fucking hard. I do kind of need to go back and play that OG one. Well, it was actually, I guess it came out before too, the original NES. There was a system before. Anyway, yeah. If you're a fan of Metal Gear, check out the Metal Gear fan remake. It's entertaining. It's worth it. That being said, the big update, obviously, last week, I'd recorded on Friday night because Saturday after work, my friend Megan and her husband John came over to entertain Fox, or try to entertain Fox with some kittens to see if, you know, he would love on one of them, and then he could have a playmate. Well, I guess to my relief a bit, because honestly, I'm not really looking to take care of more than one cat. What Fox and I have is a good thing. I don't want to ruin that thing. The only reason I would consider, having another cat, is if, you know, it would be a benefit to him. You know, I work a lot. I'm often not home, and not at the moment. He's usually pretty close by to me. He's usually right by me. He'll, I'm sure, come up here at some point while I'm recording this. We are less than an hour away before he gets his midday meal, his lunch. So he'll be up here to let me know, I'm sure, that it's getting close to feeding time. Anyway. So, yeah, John and Megan had come over with three three-legged kittens. just perfect number since they only had three legs. But yeah, they came over and had him in a pet carrier. And Fox was on the couch when they came in, and I feel like I should have recorded this right after the moment, so this was like fresh in my brain, not like a week later, as my recollection of it is already tainted, I guess. But yeah, they came over with the pet carrier, let the three kittens loose, as Fox was initially on the couch. And immediately he just got real like tense looking. His fur was sticking up a little bit, like, what the fuck have you done? He's looking over me like, "E tu, Brute?" Like, you said this wasn't going to happen again. Oh, you fucking liar. And already I felt like, I am so sorry, dude. I'm so sorry. And he was in immediately, as soon as they came in with that pet carrier. I mean, I don't even think they had let them out of the pet carrier before. Like, he was already like, what the fuck, dude? He knew it immediately. I mean, they were meowing and stuff. So he knew some shit was up. And he wasn't down for it. And once they were loose in the house, like, he stayed on the couch for a while. The kittens didn't even know that Fox really existed or seemed to give a shit. Like, they were excited. This brand new place to them. There's all this space. They could, there was plenty of cat toys on the floor for them to, play with. And, they were so excited, just running around, just like, woo, party time. It's party in the USA up in here, bitches. And, it didn't take long, and Fox is like, what the fuck? I'm getting the fuck out of here. And he went into the kitchen and jumped up on top of the fridge. And that would be where he stayed for the remainder of time they were here. I want to say they were here for like an hour. And we were just chit-chatting. John hadn't seen my house since I had turned the downstairs into a movie theater. And so I had to show him the projector and all that. But we were mainly just like playing with the kittens and just seeing if, you know, Fox would get interested and curious and just like, I'm going to check out what's going on. No, he did not. He was unhappy the entire time. The fur just sticking up the whole time, just laying on top of the fridge like, dude, what the fuck, man? And then, yeah, as that was going on, you know, I tried to check in on him every so often, and he just stayed up there. And then yeah, eventually, you know, it came time for them to leave, and Megan had put the kittens back in the carrier, and I thought, well, maybe I should put Fox down on the floor and just kind of close to the carrier just to see if he might, you know, be brave enough to go up to the carrier now that they're in a cage. Maybe he'll check it out. No, I put him down on the floor, which I put him close to the carrier, but I didn't want to put him right up to it. I didn't want to cause a traumatic experience for the kittens or himself. And yeah, he was having no part of it. He clawed me a little bit, I think, of course, when I was taking him down off the fridge. But he immediately went to go run back. To go jump back on top of the fridge. But first, he can't jump that high. The fridge is pretty high. He can't just jump to the top of the fridge. He tried to jump onto the stove and then slid and hit the floor. I felt pretty bad about that. He was just in such a state of panic that he just, he's like, I'm getting the fuck out of here. And then, he hit the stove and just like fell off and hit the ground. And, yeah, I was like, oh, yeah, he's definitely, he doesn't want any part of this shit. So, yeah, there will not be any kittens over here. You know, the thought was, sure, you know, when we had Scully here, she was like a little over a year old, a little bit of an older cat, you know, and, maybe, you know, it was the problem was it was an older cat, that maybe a kitten would be something that he would be more in tune with. No, as it turned out, no, he did not want any part of that. I think, you know, he's fully aware of how good he has it here. I do spoil the shit out of him, and I give him a lot of attention and treats and what have you. And I think he's, you know, like, what the fuck? I don't want anybody else encroaching on my shit. Don't fuck my shit up. I got it good here. I'm not sharing this stuff. And also, he's kind of, I think, got my personality, perhaps. Maybe that's why he showed up on my door in the first place, or just the fact that him hanging out with me all the time, I just kind of rubbed off on him. I'm not sure. He's a bit antisocial. Is what I'm getting at there. Anyway, yeah, so once they left, it took a while for him to get off the fridge. I eventually got him down. I think I gave him a treat. Well, I gave him a treat while they were here, too. I was trying to let him know, like, hey, dude, it's calm down. It's going to be all right, you know? That's not trying to fuck your world all up here. And yeah, he didn't immediately come down from the fridge. I think I ended up taking him off the fridge after a while and be like, here you go, check it out. They're not here. I swear they're not here. They're not coming back. You can let your guard down, buddy. And then I went, after taking him down off the fridge and like hooking him up, I did go and get some Panda Express. Where then I did let him lick my plate once I was done. Once I brought that food in, like, that seemed to be what really chilled him out, because he's like, oh, fuck, I'm going to go. I ate it at my table, and he came and jumped up on the table like, what's up? You got food? And, yeah. I tell you what, though, he was very excited that night to not have, you know, any other kittens around. It was like he was so excited, so like rubbing up against me, giving me some loving afterwards, like, dude, please never do that again. What we got is amazing. We don't want to fuck that up. And we watched Clue together on the projector, and he laid on me like the entire time. And you know, that's good. I enjoy having him, you know, lay on me and as we watch some flicks. I hadn't seen Clue in shit, probably a couple of decades. But I remember, you know, enjoying the movie, and I did enjoy it, seeing it again. It was good stuff. I was pretty excited to see it yet again. And I think Fox enjoyed it, although he was just kind of like passed out on me the whole time. He was just like, oh man, I'm so relieved that it's just you and I, that there's not three other kittens hiding out and about. So yeah, I'm like 99.9% certain that won't be doing that again. Unless, you know, I end up getting a roommate of some kind that also has kittens or a cat, and we have to make it work, you know. Who's to say? I highly doubt that I'll ever get in another relationship again, but you know, times are getting tough. I need money. Might have to get a roommate at some point. Who knows what the future brings? But I guess if it was a roommate situation, I'd be like, look, sorry, this is a one cat household. If you got a cat, you're fucked. You just can't move in here. I'll have to put an ad out or something if I want. I'll just, you know, have to find a different one. Anyway, I did just see, man, I keep getting alerts and stuff about this. Bruce Campbell, the man, the legend. Unfortunately, again, I won't be seeing him for his Ernie and Emma live Q&A. I keep checking to see if the St. Louis show has got, if anybody like canceled their tickets you know, just to see. And yeah, I have had no luck there. but it has come out. He did just do a live Ask Me Anything on Reddit yesterday, and I was working, I think, during most of that. And sadly, I did not get to take part in that. but he did just, I don't know if he talked about it on there, but I guess he was on Adam Carolla's podcast, and he talked about he's only got 5 years to live. Which isn't really shocking. I know that he had said he had said that his cancer was non-curable, and that he can do treatment, but it's just really to, I guess, is make his everyday life, you know, better. the treatment was to make it more bearable, I guess. But he has said recently that he's only got 5 years to live, which, oh man, sucks. So I would imagine he's going to, you know, just at this point, just do things that, you know, he finds enjoyable. So I don't know if he's going to do any more. Will he do more public events and stuff? I mean, if you know your time's getting short, what, you know, I think he does enjoy that stuff, but is it, I mean, knowing the, like, oh man, me personally, I'd be like, I think, you know, I don't know what Bruce Campbell's net worth is, you know, the films and such and TV shows that he acted in, I don't think he got paid astronomical for, like, price. Probably the biggest movie he ever got paid for, since he was number one on the call sheet, was probably Army of Darkness, the third Evil Dead film. But that film did flop as well in the box office. I mean, it's a fucking amazing film. But I think it was not making that much money in the box office. But I think he got a, you know, an okay payday off that. I believe, though, since he's been an executive producer on, like, the other Evil Dead films, he's probably got a decent chunk of change through that. You know, I'm sure he's well off. I think that, you know, if I was in his shoes, I would definitely, I'd be like, you know what, I know he does like to get outdoors for some shit. I've seen him on his Instagram and stuff saying that, that he does enjoy, like, getting out. There's a great story in If Chance Could Kill, Confessions of a B-Movie Actor, his first book, which I have finished. It's a very good book. He has several books. There's a sequel to that specific book. And definitely do want to check that out. anyway. Damn it. I wish I would have been there for the AMA. Anyway. I would think, you know, he'd want to do stuff like get outside and enjoy stuff. Though I don't know what is with having cancer. I mean, you could just want to stay at home. I mean, if you're just in pain all the time, are you going to want to get out and do physical activities? But I would personally, if I had that short of a window that I knew, hey, I'm pretty much out in like 5 or less years or whatever. And the doctors aren't always right on that stuff either. I mean, it could, you know, who knows how long. I mean, it could be shorter, it could be longer. Anyway, but if a doctor were to give me that diagnosis, and let's just say that I had enough money to get me through those 5 years and to, you know, do whatever the fuck I wanted for those 5 years, I'd go back to Ireland. You know, I'd spend quite a bit of time in Ireland, and I would just want to go to be in some places that I really enjoyed and just see some awesome scenery. Even if I wasn't physically able to do a whole lot, you know, I mean, I'd want to try to get out and, you know, do at least some walking, you know, maybe ride some bikes or something and really experience, you know, life. You take in everything you can before the end, which really that's what we're just trying to do anyway, isn't it? Is just trying to absorb it all. And, I feel like having a hard out, a time, that's when it's going, it just makes it more easy, of a, you know, a definite. You got to be like, all right, I got to. If there was anything I was putting off that I wanted to do in life, you know, you'd have to do it, man. It's But yeah, what I'm saying is, yeah, I wouldn't think he's going to do a whole lot more public appearances once he finishes doing his tour with Ernie and Emma, which I think finishes out in November. I think that Colorado show is the last one, Littleton, Colorado. I could be wrong. But hey, you know. Again, I don't know what his finances are. You know, maybe he didn't make a fortune off being a producer off the Evil Dead films, the newer ones. But I'm thinking he probably did. Anyway, he might have to pay for, you know, some surgeries and stuff. Again, they can't cure his cancer, but they can make life more manageable for him. I'm no expert at his diagnosis or any of that. But, you know, hey, maybe he does enjoy, you know, meeting with fans and stuff and just, to, like, enjoy that whole experience and want to do that, which fucking A, right. And if he does, you know, if I feel so, it sucks so bad that I don't have a fucking ticket for live Q&A and that I fucked up. And didn't think that they were selling tickets yet, or just missed the window when they actually started selling tickets for it. And like, God damn it. I don't even believe in God, and I'm damning it. Anyway. It's just a pisser, you know? It is a real pisser. Bruce Campbell is the man. Anywho, I'm going to see Ernie and Emma. I'll go up there. I plan to at least go to the Alamo Draft House on Halloween. Maybe I'll just bump into him in the hallway. And really, that's all I'm, you know, just to be in the same room, having, you know, breathe the same air with the legend would be amazing. Anyway, fun fact, I think I mentioned last week, I don't know, fun fact, but I mentioned last week that I believe I talked about doing Duolingo again. And man, I didn't realize before when I had gone into doing Duolingo that they have chess on there. I knew, of course, you know, you could learn all kinds of different languages, which I've attempted to learn German, Russian, a little bit of French. And I think I may have opened up the Spanish, Espanol on there before. The Irish language too. I tried a little bit of the Irish language. But I didn't know that they had like math and chess on there. And, I was quite surprised about the chess thing. I was like, you know what? I briefly played chess before, but never got that far into it. And it's been kind of fun going in there and doing chess. It has made me, it's tempted me to buy a legit board. Etsy's got some fantastic chess boards. I don't know that if, I mean, there's some just great boards like made out of marble. Or one's made out of steel. Oh, there's a My Chess Sets website. REI has fucking chessboards too. I didn't know REI had it. There's some great metal ones, but I like, it's, man, it's tough. I don't see myself buying a chessboard any time soon. Man, there's some amazing chess sets out there. Mychesssets.com, which sounds funny, has a fuck ton of options. I went on Etsy because I figured I'd find some unique sets on Etsy. Good Lord. I mean, there's just beautiful chess sets. And you can drop some crazy money on a good chess set. Man, this mychesssets.com looks, they got some amazing shit. There's some of these, you know, that are pushing like a grand in cost. I don't see myself ever getting that involved into chess where I can write off, you know what? I'm going to spend a grand on a chess set. Holy shit. Those things are like works of art, though. You know, they're fucking beautiful creations, a lot of them. And in all reality, I there's specific one on here on their website, mychesssets.com, just for luxury chess sets, which are fucking amazing looking. And they got, you know, the storage inside. There's Roman soldiers. Oh, this is fucking cool ass shit. Just so many options. That becomes like another thing. I could maybe see myself getting a pretty decent, like a nice luxury set for like a couple hundred. And that'd be cool. But again, even a couple hundred, it's hard to justify spending that much on a chess set. But some of these boards just look fucking beautiful. And if I was going to get a chess set, I'd want it to look pretty fucking amazing. Then again, you know, I thought about, well, maybe I should do some Star Wars or some kind of theme. I think just getting like a good, nice, like marble board or something to that effect. Man, there's just some amazing options. Amazing. Just some of these metal ones, and then they have just fantastic stuff. The way they look. I'm just talking about it. I'm scrolling here on this website and I'm like, oh God, I can't afford to buy this shit right now. There's an Egyptian theme chess set. Looks pretty fantastic. And I mean, they're all just hand carved, just fucking really nice wood. Like, just fantastic shit, man. As they do have more than just there's theme chess sets on here too. Oh, this is the Crusaders and Ottoman army. Oh, fantastic shit. There's a Camelot one. I don't like the board itself. It's interesting, but not really what I would choose. I would think I'd want, honestly, I don't know that I would go with a themed one. I would probably just go with normal chess pieces. Also, I want to confuse myself as to what is what. You know, I want to make sure I know what the fucking... oh, this one, Camelot. One looks pretty fucking decent, though. Jesus. All right, I got to stop looking at it. That's $325. $325 that I do not have. The pieces do look... like on this one, I feel like are easy to figure out which piece is which. Like to know what your rook is, your bishop, all that good shit. Well, the bishop, I mean, I would imagine you get used to whatever it is right off the bat. Though I think I prefer the normal chess pieces. Maybe like the Egyptian one looks cool where they kind of look slightly different, but I want them to look a little bit more like the actual chess pieces. But there, man, there's really cool shit on this website. It's Man, it's bad for me to look at this. This is too. yeah. I need to minimize that window and move on, because yeah, that is a problem. I will end up deciding to make some bad decisions later if I keep looking at that. But I feel pretty confident that's not going to happen. I don't have any desire, really, like a real desire to do that. I mean, it's only a slight desire, but you keep staring at that, you know, chest porn that like that. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. I'll bust my nut by buying a set. And in reality, I think I prefer just doing it, at least for now, you know, on Duolingo or some other video game of it, so I can easily, you know what the exact moves are. Because I'm not that knowledgeable when it comes to chess. You know, so, and some of it, I haven't attempted anything with chess in many, many years, so it's like I gotta... I'd forgotten about stuff like, castling your king to, you know, move your rook to, as long as you haven't moved your rook yet. Of course, you can castle your king by moving your king two spaces towards the rook, and then you can bring your rook to block your king. And I'd kind of forgotten about that. I mean, I hadn't looked at chess stuff in probably a couple of decades. So, you know, it is interesting to get back into that. And again, I was never that big into it, but it's fun, you know. It's fun. Just as I was talking, I need to quit looking at that shit. I did pull my browser back out for a second, and then I did see that some of the epoxy resin chess sets they have on Etsy, like, son of a bitch. Gotta knock that shit off. Before I did record the show, or start recording the show today, the last thing I was doing was watching shit on Mr. Kurt Cobain. And I'll just go ahead and say it, the murder of Kurt Cobain. I've talked about it, I think, many years throughout the podcast, here and there. I mean, it's not something that I bring up regularly in conversation. Let's see here. Trying to pull some shit up here. damn it. Trying to remember how my YouTube setup is. Here. Where's my history? Damn it. I know it on the phone. I don't know it on the PC here, but I was watching stuff, of course, from the YouTube channel Who Killed Kurt Cobain, I believe is the name of the YouTube channel. I know they have they have the website is whokilledkurt.org for a lot of the information. I don't know where view my channel. Where's my history, damn it? Oh, there's my history. Again, on the phone, I know where it's at. Who Killed Kurt Official is the name of that website. And I did not mean to play a video. I was just trying to pull up their fucking the YouTube channel. let's see here. Trying to find the woman's name that is the big part of, or like the main driving force of yeah, her name is I don't know. uh Anyway, who killed Kurt Official? It is, if you're ever curious about that whole incident of, Kurt Cobain being murdered, it is a good YouTube channel to bring all of that stuff to light. I think there's a good chance that something will happen with this. I don't know, maybe there will be a changing of guard at the Seattle Police Department that runs, that would be involved in actually being I think they're the only ones that could really do an investigation on the murder of Cobain, or the death of him, just investigate that. And anyway, I feel like there's enough that it has come to light through the years that, I think it's pretty safe to say the man did not take his own life. Anyway, the odds on that, with taking into context the evidence, is, I think, just pretty much zero. I mean, you look at it, there's, he took, I don't know the exact figures on this stuff, but I think like three times the lethal dose of heroin. And that from what I understand, you'd have to do that multiple times, injections, to be able to get that much fucking heroin in your system. Although I could be off on that. I'm just going back over, some videos I watched. but the knowing that he gave himself a lethal dose of heroin, allegedly. Yeah, he didn't. Well, even if he did. Because there's some people that have the theory that he OD'd and the dealers were there and wanted to hide the fact that he died by, ODing on their shit and didn't want, to be prosecuted over that. Then, you know what? We'll just go ahead and have him shoot his head off. And that seems a bit crazy to me. That would be the case. I mean, if he OD'd, I mean, yeah. And why would they think to like, oh, let's also then like shoot his head off to make it look like, I don't know. I mean, the point I was getting at was, he took this lethal amount of heroin. This is the story that's been told forever, is that he took this, the story that the main press, the mainstream press was touting forever, and of course what Courtney Love put out there, and is that he took a lethal dose of heroin and then shot himself with a shotgun, which I don't know why you would bother to shoot yourself with a shotgun if you were already taking a lethal dose of heroin, but I guess you got to be sure. There's so much evidence to say that that he couldn't have done it himself, because he gets a lethal dose of heroin, and then when they find his drug rig, he had capped. I keep saying he, but if you believe the narrative that's been told, he shot himself the lethal dose of heroin, and then capped the needles, and put away his stuff back in the box that he kept it in. Again, why would you bother to do that? Why are you going to bother to cap your needles? And, wouldn't the fucking needle still be in your arm? Or at least next to your fucking arm after you've like shot a lethal dose into your system? It doesn't take that. I mean, you're going right in the vein. It doesn't take that long for a fucking lethal dose of heroin to hit your fucking bloodstream right when you're plugging it right straight in to the main source. It's not like when you're consuming caffeine where it takes like 10 minutes for it to hit. Like it's happening pretty fast when you're going right into the main vein there. And but yeah, his needles were capped, his drugs were put back in the box, and then he managed to, you know, have the ability to put a shotgun, a very long shotgun, into his mouth and pull the trigger and kill himself via that way. And then, I mean, there's just so much evidence that would suggest that that is not what happened, that he could not have done these things himself. And, I mean, the shotgun shell is on the opposite side of the body from where it would have launched had he pulled the trigger himself. And just, I mean, there's just so much evidence out there. It's ridiculous. But what has really given me, I mean, just the fact that the story has, like, trickled into some mainstream news and picked up some steam, and there's a lot more people online now that seem to be behind or believe that clearly it wasn't a suicide. And seeing that we finally had an arrest and conviction on one of Tupac's killers, Dwayne Keefe D, that he, I need to look more into. I wasn't really following the trial, Keefe D trial, but he was, of course, found guilty of the 1996 murder of Tupac Shakur, which happened just 2 years after Cobain. But that guy's just a fucking idiot. Is what really sent him down the road of why he finally got prosecuted over to begin with. He was going on podcasts and talking about it. I guess he had some kind of immunity deal. Again, I need to dig more into the trial. Unfortunately, it wasn't televised. But knowing that, you know, 30 years later, that someone is actually convicted of that murder. Now, it is believed that P. Diddy wanted Tupac dead, and possibly also Biggie. I don't think that they connected the dots enough in that trial to be able to do anything to Diddy over it. Although, you know, he's already in jail. I'm surprised he hasn't been pardoned by Trump yet. Really surprised on that. That whole deal with Keefe D, I know, was he on Vlad TV? I forgot what podcast he was on, but he was on one of those podcasts then being interviewed and talked about the murder. I guess I'll read what BBC News has to say about it. Former gang boss Dwayne Keefe D. Davis has been found guilty of orchestrating the murder of Tupac Shakur, the first conviction in a cold case that has intrigued hip-hop fans for nearly 30 years. The jury found him guilty of one count of murder with a deadly weapon for the rap superstar's death in a drive-by shooting in Las Vegas on September 7th of 1996. Dressed in a black suit, the 63-year-old stood impassively in the Las Vegas court as the verdict was read before saying he would appeal. Good luck with that one, buddy. During the trial, the court heard a recording of a police interview in 2008 in which Davis said he was in the car from which shots were fired, but did not himself fire the bullets that killed Shakur. Prosecutors argued that although Davis, a former leader of the Southside Compton Crips street gang, did not himself fire the gun, he ordered the shooting and supplied the gun that his nephew, Orlando Anderson, used to open fire. Anderson died in an unrelated shooting in 98, having denied involvement in the killing of Shakur. As the verdict was read on Monday, Shakur's relatives held hands, some hugging and crying. Shakur was 25 when he was slain at the height of his career as one of the rap's most influential voices. He has sold more than 75 million records worldwide. During the trial, prosecutors said Davis had planned the shooting as a retaliation after Anderson was involved in a fight with Shakur and his crew in Las Vegas just hours earlier, which there is video of that in Las Vegas hotel there. Shakur's murder happened at a time of intense rivalry between the East Coast and West Coast rap scene, and amid gang feuds between the Bloods and Crips, which had deep roots within hip-hop at the time. His family appeared emotional in court, his sister embracing a prosecutor after the verdict was read, while others sat crying nearby. Outside, devoted fans of Shakur were similarly crying and cheering. The key evidence in the case were Davis's own words, in which he repeatedly and publicly acknowledged being inside the white Cadillac from where the deadly shots were fired. He had told authorities about his role in Shakur's death during a secret 2008 police interview related to the death of fellow rapper Notorious B.I.G., real name, of course, Christopher Wallace. 2008. They had this information back in 2008. I believe I had heard that before, too, but I know I think the real big part, though, was him going on podcasts drew a lot more attention to it. Anyway, Davis elaborated further on his role in his 2019 memoir, Compton Street Legend. He fucking wrote a book. You're a fucking idiot. But his book and media interviews avoided a protective agreement he had established with authorities that had blocked any criminal charges being filed, with the court ruling his police interview could be used in the murder trial against him. So, yeah, I guess that's what initially, or would in turn fuck him. Had he just shut his mouth, not talked about this shit, he would be sitting, he would not be in jail right now. That's crazy that he had, what a fucking idiot. Anyway, in closing arguments, prosecutor Binu Palal told jurors to take Davis at his word and find him guilty. For years, he argued Davis had been telling people that he is responsible for Tupac Shakur's murder through the documentaries, his memoir, podcast, and a police interview. He's the shot caller. In every instance, in every iteration, he's the leader of the Southside Crips, Palal told the jury. When you have the shot caller sitting shotgun with shots, or when shots are fired, there's no doubt he's responsible. I wonder if him and Suge Knight are going to shack up. That'll be fun, since they're both in jail for murder. Throughout the trial, Davis's defense team tried to persuade jurors that his comments were fiction, bravado, and exaggeration intended to sell books and make money. In closing arguments, his lawyer, Michael Sanft, urged the jury to discredit his client as a liar who just told tales to sell books. There's no proof, he told the jury, but within hours of the jury being handed the case on Monday, they reached a guilty verdict. Just before the court emptied out, Clark County District Court Judge Carly Kearney set Davis's sentencing for October 13th. While reading out some procedural steps in the case, Davis appeared to interrupt by raising his hand. I would like my stuff, he told the judge, mentioning some personal items, including his phone. He continued, I would like to appeal this matter. The judge explained that this could happen after sentencing. Clark County District Attorney Stephen Wolfson said on Tuesday that Davis is facing a minimum of 40 years in prison and that prosecutors won't seek to add gang enhancements to his sentence, in large part due to his age. I don't know a defendant convicted of murder who doesn't plan to appeal, Wolfson said at a news conference. A day after the verdict, we feel confident in the strength of our case. So, yeah, after 30 years, which, you know, he was pretty open to the fact that he was involved in this case, at least for the last, like, 7 years, just, like, selling books and going on podcasts and shit, going like, I was involved. I called the shots. I told him to kill, you know, Tupac. That's fucking... It's crazy it took him that long to fucking, to finally put that fucker in jail. But, you know, pretty crazy. Pretty crazy shit. Anyway. Yeah. I mean, if that can happen with that case, which I just assumed with that we would never see any kind of, jailing of anybody in that case, because it seemed like the people involved, no one wanted to cooperate with the police on any side of it, and if you don't have any real physical proof, what, you know, who's how are you going to have any kind of case? But this genius is just going around putting his shit out on the internet. And, you know, in books, and just letting the whole world know. And, yeah, that's just insane. That's just insane. But, like, when you have, and there was, I think there was, like, four people in the car. I've heard the story, but it's been a while. I think he was one of three or four people that were in that vehicle. And he's the only one still alive. That was at the murder as Agent Fox Mulder's getting fed. I heard the bowl go off, and I'm surprised he didn't come over here at all to let me know it was getting close to feeding time. Anyway, the point I was trying to make with the whole Keefe D thing is that over time, when you have an unsolved case like that, which if you if you believe the Seattle Police Department, it was the Kurt Cobain is not an unsolved case. It is suicide. If I was on YouTube right now, I'd have to call it unaliving, which is so fucked up. You can say this different words that mean the same thing, but why? Like the YouTube's censorship has gotten absurd. Anyway, Yeah, that enough time when enough time passes, a lot of times with cases where there was a murder, somebody's bound to slip up and say some shit, and that's usually what the stuff that ends up really breaking cases. And according to there was a Cobain friend named Joe, which I talked about many years ago on the podcast when the interview with him came out. I don't remember his shit. There was a tattoo artist. Let's see. Cobain. God damn it. I'll find his name. Joe Burns. Joe Burns is the fella's name, which I believe he is a addict, big time addict. he has claimed man, there's some good shit apparently on Reddit about all of this. Joe Burns, by his account, and I haven't watched his interview in years, so, and we're going off my recollection here without doing too much Google searching here. he was a tattoo artist and was hanging out over at Kurt's with many other people. Callie DeWitt, who was an ex-boyfriend of Courtney Love's, and there were several other people. Dylan Carlson, who was quote unquote Kurt Cobain's best friend, which Dylan Carlson, I believe, according to Joe Burns, and maybe Callie and like another person, I think. Maybe Callie didn't go upstairs, but they took Kurt Cobain up to the garden, the greenhouse, where Joe Burns had left with this at least one woman that he was with. And then when they were outside is when the gunshot was heard. but it's believed that Dylan Carlson, like, injected him with... Or, well, it is said that Dylan Carlson probably is the one that injected him with the heroin. They had done a lot of drugs together, and he was used to injecting Cobain with shit. But, I mean, the whole thing, I mean, it's just so fucked up. But I'm thinking Dylan or, you know, there was multiple people in that house at the time of the event. And I'm not sure who all is still alive that was there. But a lot of times in events like this, and of course there's plenty of stuff, murders that go on that are never solved, or I would imagine there's probably people that have committed murders and made it look like a suicide that that weren't famous, and that shit never would be you know, solved. That the truth of that would never come out, you know, or what have you. But again, when you have that many people involved, there's oftentimes when a massive amount of time hits and there's like a deathbed confession. Or these people, I mean, when you have like someone like Kurt Cobain, could very easily have a Keefe D situation where somebody that was in that house, you know what, I need some fucking money, time to put out a tell-all book and tell what exactly happened in the house. But it would sounds like that, I mean, Joe Burns, I mean, he is, his interview is hard to watch. Because he is the guy, it has done a lot of drugs, and he lost an arm. Not that the arm would fuck you up, your speech, but apparently he is the guy's seen a lot of action. He apparently had a motorcycle wreck and lost an arm at one point. But the guy, you know, believing someone that has done a lot of drugs and can't speak that well. After, you know, something that happened over 30 years ago. Like, you need more evidence than that. Oh, Agent Fox Mulder's making an appearance. Anyway, I certainly hope that, I mean, there's plenty of evidence that would say that, would really suggest that there was a fucking murder. And I would hope that something would finally, that really the Seattle Police Department is the big thing really blocking that. And I'm hoping that, that, yeah. Something happens. There's son of a bitch. I'm looking at a post on Reddit, and it's somebody taking a picture with Dylan Carlson and with wearing a Kurt Cobain shirt. That's kind of fucked up. Yeah. There's. So I was going to the comments just to see how people's reaction to this, because Dylan Carlson's given the devil horns and the rock horns, whatever, and a big smile on his face. Well, not a big smile. I think the only biggest smile you ever see on Dylan Carlson's face is somebody puts Kurt's best friend or Kurt's killer. Joe Burns, the drummer of Earth 2, says Dylan was the one who killed Kurt. yeah, it didn't take long. There's three comments down before, like, there was two people that said, that seemed to be kind of cool with the fact that there was, what is the poster? The person that posted it. but, okay, there's a few people, there's a nice little thread as soon as they mentioned the fact that it sounds like Kurt's killer. Whereas somebody puts Sandy Bobandy puts Danny Clint Rich also said that in his January 2025 interview, just before he died, said he was the one who doped him up, referring to Carlson. At least I didn't ever hear him clearly state whether it was. Oh, they're just gonna initial everybody, son of a bitch. DC, CLEE, or ML who pulled the trigger. I. I am planning to watch the interview a third time, though. Captions need to be added. The interviewer's Wi-Fi connection is causing audio dropouts, so there are a lot of missing words. Establish mental. Psy says, have a look at the book. Just finished by Joseph Burns. Oh, he put out a book. It's called To Kurt, I'm Sorry. The entire assassination of Kurt is documented. Murderers were Dylan Carlson and Mark Lanigan. possibly with the help of Daniel Clint Ritchie. There were 9 people at the Washington House at the time of Kurt's murder, and it was directly witnessed by at least 3 other people who were present in the same room. It sure does answer a lot of questions. It's a very quick read, only 46 pages. So yeah, I guess I'll have to check that out. I mean, that's a quick read. 46 pages. I can handle it. I was expecting a little more. Oh, you can get it off Amazon. 25 though for a 46-page book. Anyway, I might have to check that out. I don't know that. Man, I don't really want to. Fox is tearing up an old calendar. Oh, buddy. Anyway, I guess I'm going to wrap this up here in a second. Because my throat's getting a little sore. A little sore. And, yeah, I'll probably dive into more stuff about all that once I stop doing the podcast. Muffin Man, I imagine, is probably going to come over later. We talked about yesterday about him coming over. It is a holiday weekend and all, so we're both off, you know, for a few days. And Grogu, the Mandalorian and Grogu, is on Disney Plus now. And so I suggested him come over and we watch it on the projector. So I'll get in touch with him and see when we're going to do that. I'm just excited to be off 3 days. And next weekend, I'm going with Shelley to see Marc Maron at the pageant. I'll have 3 days for that because I took off 9/11, which is kind of weird to just like put in a vacation day for 9/11. I don't want to forget. Which is kind of funny. Shelly had messaged me, "Hey, don't forget, we're going to see Maron next week." I'm like, "Oh, I didn't forget. Like, I took off for 9/11, man. Never forget." anyway. According to Amazon, this book is actually 51 pages. I'm sorry. Anywho, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up. So as always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.